You're listening to All Over the Shop, my journey through the English language.
So they've taken the English language, but they've looked at some of it and they thought, no, I think we need a little bit more explanation.
Yeah, you guys made it so that people don't understand it. That's stupid. That's not smart. We've made it better.
In a form of gobbledygook, of stentorian, sesquipedalian sentences that nobody can ever understand.
Well, Locke, well, this is going to be a good wee bit of schnoise.
N-I-C-E, noise.
Noise.
I feel awful because they're speaking English, but I could not understand a single word. It was like...
The common one that you get stick over is the do be, they do be, he does be, and so on.
Good luck over there, but whatever you do, don't forget your accent, all right?
And welcome to the very first episode of All Over the Shop. I'm your host, Barbara Feeney, or as some like to call me, Babs, or Barbs, or the Aussies, they like to say Bob. I know what you're probably thinking, my name, it's quite old-fashioned, you don't know many Barbaras. And you're completely right, because the average age of a Barbara is 73.2. A female Barbara, apparently there's some men called Barbara, who knew? Anyway. Without further ado, let's get into this. Is it a flump or a flog? Or a biscuit? Or a cookie? Or are they chips or crisps? These are some very profound and important questions that we don't talk about enough. And that's why I'm here. That's why I've created All Over the Shop, to talk about these important disagreements, discussions, misunderstandings. I'm going to be the voice, because I don't think there is a voice or a platform. We're going to talk about English in all its forms, many forms. Like, it's pretty mad if you think about it. It really is. And it gets people going. It really grinds people's gears. And I love that. My fascination with English began the back of a converted lorry last year. Yeah, I know you're thinking peak notions, but just hear me out. I was travelling for 2 months through Southern Africa with a group of strangers, mostly English speakers, from everywhere. Singapore, Northern Ireland, England, New Zealand, Australia, USA. Every day there was arguments, disagreements, debates about how English should be spoken. What were the right words to use? I know what you're thinking. And before you let your mind run away, yes, I know. You're like, oh, what does she know with her South Dublin accent? She can't tell us anything. Okay, stop yourself. We're all entitled to our opinion. And I've got lots of stories and we're going to talk about lots of accents and ways of speaking English. This isn't an academic podcast, so just a bit of crack, okay? Each week, we'll have a different theme. And of course, we'll have our two special features, Word of the Podcast and the Pronunciation Peeve. More about those later. Today, though, I'm just going to tell a couple of stories so you can see where I'm coming from. And one more thing before I move on. I'm not here to offend you or take the piss out of you. We're all just here for a bit of crack. You know, we all need a bit of crack right now. Life is a bit grim. So stick with me. Tell your friends. Listen on the loo or the Lewis or in the bath or in your house or on your walk. It's going to be fun. Hopefully you can't hear the washing machine in its final cycle in the kitchen. I have tried to create a studio-like environment in my bedroom, but that's quite tricky. I don't know if the building is fit for that. But I do have the equipment. I have the fancy microphone and all sorts of knobs and buttons here. So listen, we're away. Basically, there are just so many stories when it comes to English and how people speak it and how people use words and pronounce them. I suppose there's been a couple of light bulb moments for me. One of those light bulb moments for me was when I moved to Santa Barbara, California. Absolutely beautiful place. Oh my God. Don't bother Googling it because you'll just be sad looking at the pictures. I lived in a small little town actually outside of Santa Barbara called Isla Vista, which many Irish people will be familiar with because hundreds of Irish go there every summer and the police absolutely hate them. Anyway, that's not the point. That's not the point of what I'm talking about. So I thought the way I spoke English was quite simple and plain and you could understand me. Obviously not. No, it wasn't, because I moved to Santa Barbara. My name is Barbara. And, you know, my first week in college, I, you know, met all sorts of people. I joined the field hockey team and, you know, I'd introduce myself on multiple occasions. And I would say, hello, how are you? And they would say, hey, how are you? You know, I'm Tyler. I'm like Brittany. I'm Amber. You know, some sort of American name. They would say, what's your name? And I'd say, I'm Barbara. And so many times they would have this perplexed look on their face. Like, what? Barbara. And I just, at the beginning, I couldn't understand how they didn't know what I was saying. So then I would explain, oh, Barbara, like Santa Barbara, where we're living. And they'd be like, oh my God, yes. Oh my God, that's so funny that you've got the same name as the place that we live. And I'd be like, yeah, I know. I haven't heard that one before. So then I just realized over time that I had to adjust the way I spoke. Another light bulb moment, we found a couch on the street. We lived in a student town, so there was constantly furniture left on the street in front of people's apartments and houses, free for taking. So we found a couch, it looked pretty decent, and myself and my housemates, we carried it home. But our door into our apartment was at a very strange angle and we were having no luck getting it into the kitchen, on into the living room. And we tried every sort of way of pushing it through the door. Anyway, we were like, listen, it's not going to happen. We're going to have to take an end off the couch if we really want this couch. Like, the lengths we were going to get this free couch into the house was quite extraordinary, considering the couch was probably infested with some sort of bed bug. Anyway, so we knocked on number two and we said, hi guys, how are you? And I said, any chance you have a saw? And they looked at me like I was speaking another language. I said it again, do you have a saw? We actually found this couch on the street. We were trying to put it into the house. It actually won't fit. So we're going to try and saw off the end. And then they looked again and said, oh my God, you're looking for a saw? Yeah. Yes, I'm looking for a saw. Saw. Really? Yeah, I don't know. I moved to England then when I was 22. You know, I thought I knew it all. I'd been to UCD. I lived in Santa Barbara. I know how people speak. The English will understand me. Yeah, definitely. What's there not to understand? You know what I mean? I was so naive. You know, I'd grown up watching the English channels, assuming maybe they had watched RTÉ. Definitely not, Barbara. Are you for real? So I was working in an office. It was very multicultural, but there were lots of English people there too. And I thought they'd understand what I was saying. They didn't. I was the keen intern. You know, I think they liked me. I was harmless. I did what I was told to do. But now and then they would get a right laugh because I'd be going out for lunch and I'd say, oh, I'm just going to grab my coat from the press. I'm just going to do a few messages after my lunch. Yeah, do a few messages. What's the problem? And they would be like howling, laughing at me. And then their favorite thing was when I'd be spelling my name on the phone, because often you'd be chatting to a journalist, you know, setting up your radio program, and they'd ask for your email address. So you'd say, you know, it's barbara.feeney, and you would say b-a-o-r-a, and then you would hear them recite it back to you, and they would say B-A-O-R-B-A-O-R-A. And you'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I actually just had to start saying are instead of or. And it was quite difficult for me because I like to talk the way I talk. I don't like to amend my accent, even though I did in California, just to get by, to live. And then I just realized if you want to live in England, you're going to have to say ah. I think the worst for me was the day one of the girls, I said to her, I said, oh, can I do that today? And she said, I don't know, can you? I was like, well, yeah. And she's like, you know that it's not can I, it's shall I? And I was like, ah, no, we don't talk that way in Ireland. She really stuck the knife in there. I'll never forget that one. Now, listeners, it's time to introduce you to two special features, Word of the Podcast and the Pronunciation Peeve. Our first ever Word of the Podcast is shag. And you'll be surprised to hear it's not for its chiefly British, informal and usually vulgar meaning to have sexual intercourse with. It's for another meaning. When I was in America, I played on the hockey team, or as the Californians say, field hockey, just to distinguish it from ice hockey, which they call hockey. Like, as if things weren't confusing enough. Anyway, so at the end of training each day, we would scrimmage, which is another amazing word which I had not been aware of. Essentially a little match. But isn't it fascinating that they call it something completely different? And we would put on our scrimmage like training vests, which were just bibs, but like they had special bibs that were reversible. They were so fancy, not like the real smelly ones that you usually have at training that you take out of a bag that haven't been washed in 4 years. We each had our own bib or vest, where they had some other name which I can't remember and it's killing me. Anyway, so usually before we scrimmaged, we would be on the pitch or the field, as they would say, the field, and we would be doing some sort of drills. So we'd have like 20 balls on the pitch. We'd be doing flicks or passes or some sort of drill. First day I was at training, the coach blew the whistle and said, "Shag the balls." And I was like, excuse me, what? And all the girls on the pitch just started flicking all the balls out. Shag the balls. I came home and I couldn't believe it. I was telling my housemates, I was like, you'll never guess what the coach said. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there are a number of meanings for the word shag. If we look at the noun, it would tell us that it is a shaggy tangled mess or covering as of hair, like a shaggy dog, we would say, long, coarse or matted fibre, a layered haircut of uneven length, tobacco cut into fine shreds. If we look at the verb, it's to fall or hang in shaggy masses, to make rough or shaggy. And then obviously the British informal and vulgar meaning to have sexual intercourse. And then the final meaning in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is to chase after, especially to chase after and return a ball hit usually out of play, or to catch a fly in baseball practice. So there we go. That is today's Word of the Podcast. Now, for the final part of the show, this is something called the pronunciation peeve. As it says in the tin, we're going to talk about a word in which there are discussions or disagreements about how it is pronounced. And I'm not going to say whether one is right or wrong, but I'm just going to put it out there and going to talk about it. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, Barbara Alfini on Twitter, because as I said, these simple little topics and irritations in life really get people fired up. So today, just need to start with a little bit of a background story, like everything, to explain the reason for choosing this particular word that is the subject of the first pronunciation peeve. So I lived in Australia earlier this year in Melbourne, and I shared a house with two girls. One of them was from South Africa. I'm very fond of the South African accent. There are many versions of it, variations obviously, but she was from Cape Town. And it was very enjoyable talking to her and hearing her accent. And likewise, I think she liked hearing the Irish accent. Anyway, one day we got into a bit of a disagreement, would I say, when I was telling her about a new restaurant around the corner from our house. And I said, oh yeah, there's a lovely Thai restaurant. And she turned to me and said, what did you say? And I said, Thai, like Thailand. And she nearly exploded. She just couldn't understand. And she was like, you know that it's Thailand, not Thailand. And I was like, well, that's what you say. But in Ireland, we say Thailand, like your thigh, the part of your body. We don't say Thailand, like a tie that you wear around your neck. So there was some back and forth and some exchanges. And I maintained my position that just because she pronounced it in a different way didn't mean I was wrong. So there we go. That is this week's pronunciation peeve. I want to hear what you think. And each week we're going to be examining a new word. And I want to know what you think, because I know that this is going to get people going. So let me know. Get in touch. That's all for this episode. Thank you very much for sticking with me and listening. Until next time, goodbye.